Clare Lutheran Church presents Vicar Paul on the first Sunday of Advent.
If we want to see Christ in the world, we have to do the hard preparation of being Christ in the world.
Advent is a season of waiting. In the gospel text for today, we see things are not looking good, but that hope is there. The first candle of Advent signifies this hope, the first component in waiting. While we are waiting, we are urged to be awake, to get and be prepared, for the kingdom of God is coming. Here is Vicar Paul.
The gospel for today, for this first Sunday in Advent, is from Mark chapter 13. And Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. So truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So beware, keep alert, for you do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. You do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And that's what I say to you. I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord. Holy God, give us grace and open our hearts and minds to hear your true and living word, Jesus the Christ, who will transform our lives. Amen. All right, so I'm not generally one who uses sports analogies in a sermon, but this one is useful. I've come to think of Advent, today's the first Sunday of Advent, I think of Advent as sort of a two-minute warning. And it's maybe a little weird since we're just kicking off a new church year, but we've hopefully come to expect that when we're talking about the coming of the kingdom of God, things do go upside down rather quickly. You know, a king that leads by serving. We're exalted by being humble. We're made free by becoming servants. We become rich by giving away. So a two-minute warning at the beginning of the year seems somehow appropriate. So Advent, as a two-minute warning, conveys the urgency we feel when someone is coming. In this season, we anticipate and long for the coming of Christ. When my wife and I were first married, we lived in North Carolina. And in the year that we lived down there, both my parents and my wife's parents both made a trip down to visit us. And the week before their arrival, we cleaned and we cooked and we made plans for what to do with them when they're here. We wanted everything to be just so, to give them a warm and welcoming and joyous experience. There was an urgency to our preparations, like the urgency of a two-minute warning. It doesn't say that the game is over. It just means that if we've begun to fade or daze or get distracted, we need to get our head back in the game because there's only 2 minutes left. And some of you, as you were growing up, may have frequented dance halls when they were popular. And this could also be likened to the band leader's pronouncement at the end of the evening that this is going to be the last dance. Time to take one more twirl, or maybe to build up that courage to ask that one you've been waiting for all night the dance. There's that sense of urgency again, a sense of hope. And that's what our first candle symbolizes in Advent. Hope. Hope for a good experience. Hope for a connection to the one who could be the one. Hope that we can turn around what's not going well. The first component of Advent waiting is hope. Well, we've just come out of Matthew's gospel, and if you haven't noticed, it has some pretty significant themes of judgment these last few weeks. And now we enter into Mark, who really only brings up the final judgment, the end times. The big word we use is the eschatology. He only brings it up once. Mark is considered to be the earliest of the Gospels, written around 66 to 70 BCE, about one generation after the ascension of Jesus, and most likely during the persecution of the Christians in Rome under Nero, and right around the same time that they burned the city of Jerusalem and the temple by the Romans. It was a dark, apocalyptic time. Mark's saying here that times are not looking good, but there is hope, and we need to keep awake. This is your two-minute warning. Get your head back in the game. Well, times right now are not looking very good either, are they? There is hope, a potential vaccine, and we need to keep awake. Keep wearing masks, social distancing, washing our hands, two-minute warning, get our heads back in the game. We celebrate Advent again and again every year. This is because Christ comes again and again. Certainly, we may consider that Christ's definitive coming at the end of time, we can certainly think about that at this time of year. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks about the cosmic activity of the sun, the moon, the stars. The sky is literally falling, and Jesus says that all of this is going to happen before his own generation passes away. And if this passage was indeed talking about the end of time, Jesus was mistaken. Many generations have come and gone since he spoke those words, and there's, well, no apparent end in sight. However, if we consider that, if all this talk about the sky falling is metaphoric language for hard times, then Jesus was not mistaken. Hard times, accompanied by the feeling that our world is falling apart, our traditions are no longer shining, we're depressed by the state of what is coming, you know, this happens every generation. And it also happens in the lives of each one of us. This might be caused by the loss of a job, a divorce, a public embarrassment, a sickness, a death, or a failure. The ways and means by which our stars fall are endless. The good news is that this very darkness itself is a sign that Christ is coming to us now, not just at the end of time. There's a bit of Greek syntax that has some real difficulty when you try to translate it. The original Greek phrase for "the time will come" can also be translated as "the time is come." It's a common mode of expression to speak of the future and the present moment at the same time in Greek. So the master of the Lord, master of the house, or the Lord of the house will be coming and is, has come. When theologians get together, they talk both about the future eschatology, that which happens at the end of time, or the realized eschatology, or the last times that are here right now. It's another one of those paradoxes that we expect when we're talking about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is right now at the very door of our dark nights, at the gates of our depression, with us in our hard times, whatever they may be. And it's a paradox that our very darkness is a sign of hope. We pray about this every Advent again and again, because cosmic gloominess is with us again and again, causing us to yearn for more. With the Son of Man at our side, we witness the cosmic destruction turn into a comic spring. We laugh and we're surprised by joy. The tables are turned. The joke is on the powers of darkness, not on us. The death of one thing brings something new. It might be a new career, a new partner, a new lease on life, a new social order, but you know, there is that cycle again and again. This pandemic has made us all slow down. In this Advent, I hope that we slow down even more, in spite of our desire for a holiday rush. And we should listen and wait. You know, we're not good at waiting. We have instant access to so much these days. You want to play a game of Scrabble? Poof, go online. Want to know where your spouse or your children are? Just call that electronic leash that we all carry. You want to visit another country? Well, just jump on an airplane. Well, maybe not right now. Are you ready for supper and haven't had time to go to the store? You can pick something up at the Quick Trip, or this, they sell it. We'll sell you an oven that can bake things straight from the freezer. Are you longing to be asked out on a date? There's websites galore with lots of interesting sounding lonely hearts, every one of them emotionally intelligent and astonishingly baggage free. Right. Wait. Take a breath. Wait. A key part of good waiting is preparation, doing the hard work of getting ready. Athletes work out. Writers do rough drafts. Actors rehearse. Farmers do test plots. Preparation is active waiting. People only see what they're prepared to see, said Ralph Waldo Emerson. If we want to see Christ in the world, we have to do the hard preparation of being Christ in the world. Advent is our 2-minute warning to up our game, to risk asking, to get our priorities in order. We need to stay awake, or woke, as they say these days. Be woke and waiting. It's very easy to get lulled to sleep by our safe homes, our nice meals, our instant access to so much. And you add to that good friendships, people who look after us, television entertain us. We can be so busy and yet be asleep to the life that we are called to live, doing that hard preparation of being Christ in the world. So this parable that Jesus tells may be read as a call for constant vigilance, to always be on the lookout for the Lord, whether at the end of time or in the face of our neighbor, or in the one who is outcast or different, who behaves or believes differently than we do. To be woke and waiting. We're at the 2-minute warning, and the coach is saying, don't quit. Keep playing. I'm here with you. There's a story about Ignaz Paderewski, the great Russian composer-pianist. He was scheduled to perform at a great concert hall one evening. In the audience of black tuxedos and long evening gowns was a mother with her fidgety 9-year-old son. Her mother brought him, or his mother brought him, in hopes that her boy would be encouraged to practice the piano if he could just hear the immortal Paderewski. So against the boy's own wishes, he had come with his mother. And as they were coming to their seats, she turned to talk to some of her friends. And the boy slipped from her side And without much notice from the sophisticated audience, the boy walked onto stage, sat down on the stool, staring wide-eyed at the black and white keys of that huge piano. And he put his small fingers on the keyboard, and he began to play Chopsticks. The roar of the crowd was hushed by hundreds of frowning faces turned in his direction. An angered audience began jeering at the boy, booing and hissing for him to be taken from the stage. Backstage, Maestro Paderewski overheard the sounds out front and quickly grabbed his coat and rushed toward the stage. Without one word of announcement, he stooped over the boy, reached around both sides, and began to improvise a counter melody to harmonize and enhance the tune. And as the two of them played together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, "Keep going. Don't quit, son. Keep on playing. Don't quit. I'm right here. Don't quit." Jesus is here and coming again. Your own personal world may be coming apart, and you may see turmoil in the world as a harbinger of the end times, but yeah, it's Advent. This is our 2-minute warning to both prepare for the kingdom of God and to summon our reserves and do our best to be the kingdom of God right here and now. God has got this. God has got us. Let's keep on playing. Amen.
Permission to podcast stream the music in this service obtained from one license with license number A-718472. Scripture readings taken from the Message. Copyright selected years between 1993 and 2002. Used by permission of NAB Press Publishing Group.